May 28th, 2024, George Hermosa is so shocked. Oh, I was going to say you were so shocked by everything that was going on, you couldn't possibly bring yourself to read. He's temporarily illiterate, in shock that all ego Ethan Page is doing something in NXT.
Wait, he did? I turned it off after that pinfall. What?
Jordynne Grace challenging for the Women's Championship against Roxanne Perez.
What?
It's a time. It's going to be crazy. Battleground is shaping up to be hot, hot, hot. It's nuts, y'all. I'm Glenn. This is George. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
Hey, everyone.
Looking a little extra yellow, like the desert sunshine. So we got a lot to hop into before we get into all the NXT happenings. What's going on in the news?
First off, I want to say I sincerely missed you.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
My Tuesday was very lonely and empty. Oh. even though I was working all day and I couldn't get out of it, I still felt a massive hole in my heart because I wasn't here last week. But speaking of which, while I was off last week, apparently Dwayne The Rock Johnson was breaking Guinness Book of World Records. Apparently, he is now the most followed actor on TikTok.
Oh,
which is a thing apparently. And the most followed American man in the world, which is funny because I don't follow him on either platform. Not for any specific reason. I just don't really follow that many people. I don't know about you.
I'm a leader, not a follower.
Yeah.
No. I don't follow that many people. And there's some people I feel like I don't need to follow because anything they do of note will be retweeted and I'll see it through others.
Yeah. Yeah. I follow not that many people either. Usually Facebook is for like friends. Like Instagram, I just have like a few like dog and food and book accounts that I follow that I don't know. But yeah, like you said, it doesn't matter if I follow them or not because it doesn't matter. Because somebody's going to end up retweeting it that I know. And it's like I'm following him without really following him.
Yeah.
But I will say if he followed me, then I'd follow him back. I did buy a bottle of Terramana about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and I believe I tweeted it in hopes that I get a follow back. Nothing. So, I'm surprised that he broke this record because I don't follow him.
Well, there you have it, Dwayne. You want George's follow, you got to follow him first, and then he'll follow you back.
But yeah, all jokes aside, though, obviously, that being said, it also, he is a wrestler at heart, as we heard him say. The fact that he just goes back to wrestling, I think me and you, Glenn, are probably from the same generation where we will always consider The Rock, and I say The Rock specifically because a lot of people probably consider him as Dwayne Johnson or Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He'll always be the Scorpion King to me.
Hakuma Shinte. But The Rock is a wrestler and a wrestler first, and he's always going to be a wrestler to us. But there is a big audience, and I think I said this on one of my first after shows that I did here, is that my child only knows him from, or not only, but now he knows him as the Final Boss. But he was like, when we were watching Raw, he came back on Raw and had that run. He's like, oh, look, it's Black Adam. And in some people's eyes, it's the wrestler that's now a wrestler that was Black Adam or was the Tooth Fairy or was the movie actor. So with that said, it's crazy how now this whole new generation of fans that know him as an actor now is divulging in wrestling. So I can only imagine the following that or maybe more eyeballs that pro wrestling has or will have just from being the most followed man on social media.
Yeah. I mean, good for him. Yep, it's crazy. It's amazing how he kept WWE at arm's length for like the past decade. And then, a couple changes at the top. Now he's in. He's invested again.
Yeah, he was gone for 7.5 years. Or not gone, but he didn't step in a wrestling ring for a good 7 years. Obviously, he had that thing at the 2008 Hall of Fame where he kind of became like a little bit of a roast before inducting his father and his grandfather. But it's really cool to have him back, and especially that run before WrestleMania where he was practically on more than the actual world champion was. But you know,
And in fairness, he did send the egg. He did send the egg from the Netflix movie Red Notice that one time. So it's not that he didn't care at all. I mean, you know, it's up there with the Shane McMahon birthday tweet in terms of something really personal.
It got Austin Theory over, at least for that time. But we'll see what's going to happen soon with The Rock when he comes back. And we can only assume in a collision course with one Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. I mean, for SummerSlam, I think it's too soon because we're 10 weeks from SummerSlam, but if they could pull that off, that'd be a big match.
Yeah, maybe I want to see it. Yeah, The Rock versus Dashing Cody Rhodes. Can't wait to see it. But yeah, I think SummerSlam is going to be too soon.
Yeah. What else is going on in the news?
What else is going on? We have backstage report on NXT interest in star from WWE main roster. Just a brief criticism. The headline was a little confusing. I had no idea what they were trying to say with this headline. You know, whatever. I'm not a writer, so I'm probably one of those people that doesn't know what I'm talking about. But I didn't know what to expect when I clicked on this. But with that said, it looks like Tegan Knox has been interested in going back to NXT. She was part of the draft, as everybody was, and we haven't really seen much of her for the last few months. It looks like NXT is going to be the place that she's going to be at for a little while. And some may call it demotion, but when you have possibly, and it was referred to a couple times tonight, and I completely agree with it, the best women's division of all of pro wrestling, it is not a demotion to go down to the NXT women's division. So Tegan Knox going down there. Obviously, she's had injuries kind of derail her a little bit. derail her a little bit. She was a little hot, early 2020 with that feud with Dakota Kai. Injuries, return injuries. But hopefully now that she's going to be in NXT, and again, she still has a lot of eyeballs on her, so it's not like she's going down to I know some people can still consider it a developmental brand, but you know, some people yes, some people no. Either way, it's still a lot of eyeballs to be had on you, especially after tonight where we saw who knows how many eyeballs certain, I don't know who Sexy Red is, but you know, you never know.
It's true.
We'll get into that.
Well, yeah, we'll get into our complete ignorance of the current hip hop scene soon. But no, look, I think that given where WWE booking has been at on Raw and SmackDown since Mania, and NXT, by the way, I mean, we talked about this last week. It feels like they've abandoned or just forgot about a lot of storylines recently. But tonight, I don't know. I feel like they really turned it around with some unexpected moments like Battleground. Before, I was kind of like, okay, well, aside from this new women's title, what is there to really get hype about? But I feel like they gave us quite a lot tonight.
Yeah,
and it's an exciting time. So I don't know. I think it's, look, I think on any given week, NXT is the best brand under the WWE umbrella, certainly the most consistently entertaining. And I think tonight actually might be transitioning eras, and we'll talk about some other hints they had there, which is weird because the CW thing isn't happening for months still.
Mm-hmm. But it's creeping up.
I know, but tonight felt kind of new in some ways, or a refresh or a reboot. But what else is in the news?
So kind of going off on what we just talked about, this women's division, obviously a big name is coming soon. Her name is Julia. She got injured about two months ago. And there was talk whether she should be getting injury, surgery, whether or not. But it looks like the WWE is reportedly prompted Julia to get surgery, which I think is the completely right move. Yeah. Obviously, she doesn't want to prolong it. Obviously, I say obviously a lot as if it is. But what I'm trying to say is she hasn't been in the WWE ring. And this isn't a knock on Julia. And this is mostly just how good the WWE women's division is. They don't need anybody. They're not clamoring for anyone specific. So with that said, get healthy make sure you're 100%, because the worst thing that can happen is you debut not fully healthy and then you get hurt, maybe even worse. And therefore, whatever buzz that you had around you coming into your debut, now you got to take off because you didn't get that injury fully healed. And now you're out for, 6 months or however long she's going to be out. So get that surgery and make sure you come back at 100%. And we're going to see probably an even bigger and better Julia when she finally arrives in NXT.
Well, I think a lot of us anticipated the stare down after Roxy's match at Battleground was going to be with Julia. And maybe based on the backstage reports, Julia was going to take that title at Heatwave and have an Asuka or Shayna Baszler-esque title run, long run with that title, which is part of why the North American Championship is being introduced for the women. So we have something that's a little more up for grabs on a consistent basis. So I wonder if Jordan was the original plan for Battleground or if they're saving that for Heatwave now that Julia is going to be sidelined maybe for the summer. I don't know what the recovery time is on this, but this worked about as well as it could have tonight with what they pulled off with both Jordan and I think Jordan more so than Ethan Page. And we'll talk about the Ethan Page news and how that went down. But with Jordan, she stunned and impressed so much at the Royal Rumble that everybody who saw that tonight, who's familiar with WWE, knew who she was, even if they don't watch TNA.
You know what helps too? And again, I'm more of a like minor details, because without the foundation, everything just kind of collapsed. It helps. And again, this is probably so insignificant to a lot of people, but that TNA Women's Championship belt title, it is a beauty. You know, it is nice belt to look at, and it helps that to me that adds so much credibility. It's like when Ric Flair came in 91 and he brought in the big gold belt, like that was just a physical thing of beauty. And I think that helps a lot because it adds a lot of legitimacy in terms of like somebody just looking like a champion.
Yeah. Also, as we're going to air, Jake Hager is now a free agent, didn't renew his AEW contract. No word yet if the purple hat is still signed or not, though.
Interesting.
Do you think Jake could come? I see he seems like someone that maybe short term they would bring back, maybe long term. But if he comes back, is he Jake Hager or Jack Swagger?
That's an interesting one because this isn't, oh God, I hate saying these things because I don't want people to make it think like it's a knock. And it kind of goes back to what I said just about like 2 minutes ago, where it's like, they don't really need anybody. And with that said, that says a lot in how the show ended. How, you know, like, where's the investment, right? He is a former world champion. And obviously the things are a little bit different now with a different regime. It's just a matter of seeing value. I always thought he was valuable. I love the We the People gimmick. I think that was something that could have been had a lot more legs. But can he do that 10 years later? Is that gimmick still going to be a thing if he comes back?
I don't know. But I mean, look, I think we'll talk about what happened tonight with Gallows and Anderson. But I think NXT has gotten pretty good at how they're using talent that to build up NXT talent in the process.
And it just goes, and it just says, and at the end of the day, it just comes back to, what is it that these talent want, right? You have somebody like a Sean Spears who, by all means, and I'm just assuming here, I don't know any insider information, he's happy exactly where he's at. He knows that he's probably not going to be a WrestleMania main eventer. He knows he's probably not even to be like a US or Intercontinental champion on the main roster. So what's best for him? To maybe be down in NXT, and he already has a school. So obviously he has that trainer coach kind of mentality that they probably want in him. And he's probably completely fine with that. Maybe somebody like a Jack Swagger wants that, or maybe he doesn't want that. It all goes back to Jake Hager. Jack Swagger should do whatever's going to make him happier the most. And also, and then the WWE, they can find value in anybody. You know, they can bring somebody back and they can find ways to make it work. But at the end of the day, it's going to be hopefully something that can both work out if it does come to that.
Yeah. Anything else in the news?
Not that I know of. You just kind of broke some news with the Jake Hager thing. That was news to me. I didn't know he was done. I mean, we haven't seen him on AEW TV in a while. So maybe that makes a lot of sense, but we haven't seen a lot of people in AEW TV for a while, and they're probably there for a few more years. So
Beer Money's mentioning, I also saw this on Twitter, that Arn Anderson and possibly Mark Henry are also free agents right now.
Well, I think Mark Henry for sure, because he announced it on the Busted Open thing. I think Arn is as well. I think he said it on his podcast. But yeah, we Arn Anderson was an agent. He I don't know if you remember, but he was a little unceremoniously let go a couple years ago when he was a WWE agent.
I recall.
For some shenanigans that, if you want to look into why.
I say bring back him and Alicia Fox.
Yeah, but again, does Arn want to travel all the time? Does he want to do the loops as an agent? I think he's very valuable. I think he adds a lot, especially as an agent. But is there a job opening there? You know, they have a lot of agents, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I might be able to suss out if there's kind of a story there. You know, he hasn't published his podcast in a while. Maybe he does want to get on the road again.
Yeah, maybe. I know. I was kind of looking into that too, because not that I always listen to him. I kind of picked and choose on his podcast, but I think he's maybe like on YouTube exclusive now. So
is he?
I think so. Doesn't pop up on my Spotify feed. So yeah, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, we'll find out. We'll get to the bottom of it all here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. So tonight, so much to talk about. Is this podcast on YouTube now only? Maybe it is. I need to look into this.
Let's talk about the real issue here now, Glenn.
Who is Sexy Red?
Here's the thing. And I think we're in the same generation as far as the rap music goes. I know we had a little conversation regarding maybe one of my first shows with you. We kind of went on a tangent at the end of the show just about like rap music. Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Okay.
When they came out, they kind of revolutionized that kind of genre of the, you know, the really fast rapping. When they came out, did the previous generation hate on them as much as we, or maybe I, hate on some of the newer generation?
Okay, so what's interesting you mentioned about Bone Thugs is when Naughty by Nature came out, people didn't like their extra syllable, you know, way of rhyming. Dos Effects also had that. So I feel like Bone Thugs is really just the evolution of Tretch from Naughty by Nature, Dos Effects, and Bone Thugs was the next iteration of that.
With that said, who is Sexy Red, and why am I just out of the loop, or is this a scenario where, who was that one artist that came out and like Mellow and Trick was like they came out with him? I think she did a little performance. Oh, I forgot her name. Like, or is this like a Poppy? Like, is she, who's bigger, Poppy or Sexy Red?
I think Sexy Red is, that we sound so old and out of touch, George. Who's bigger, her or Poppy? Bring Me the Horizon. I know they're very popular. Even that's dating me, because that was like 10 years ago on NXT. But yeah, I think she sold a lot of records. She's had a lot of hits.
Name one that. Hit, because I don't know. There's a song called
Pound Town. I assume it's a town where they keep all the unwanted dogs and you go there to adopt them, because it's a pound town. Go into the pound, but it's a town. Come home with a rescue from Pound Town. I don't know. I was sending a DM to someone today saying I got a really hot take on some Funk Dubious lyrics. So I'm like 30 years out the game.
Like, I know who Jack Harlow is.
Okay.
Obviously Kendrick. I know somewhat about this Kendrick and Drake feud that's going on, but I don't know. Like, I know who Ice Spice is.
I'm aware who Ice Spice is.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously Cardi and Nicki. But sure. Like this Sexy Red, is she somebody who, man, she's got some flows, you gotta listen to it, or is she just like a social media rapper where, you know, she'll have Sexy that Red one Hive song
is gonna come for you, George.
Yeah, like does she just have that one song? No, that like the TikTokers have
page. I'm looking at her Wikipedia page.
How long is the Wikipedia page? Because I always judge somebody's success on how long their Wikipedia page is.
Well, she's had a couple things chart. Pound Town charted. Being told in the chat, maybe it's not about going to adopt a stray animal at the pound. In a town. I don't know. Okay, we're gonna go off track. Anyhow, Sexy Red was there to unveil the new Women's North America Championship, and it's got red in it, and her hair's red, so it all makes sense.
It's crazy how colors can make such a big difference. Yes. Because that title, I keep trying to say belt as if somebody's going to judge me for saying it. But the belt's a lot nicer than the men's North American Championship. It's just so crazy how like tiny details can just change everything.
It's true. Ice-T had a song about colors.
What was his group? Body Count. Oh, no, Body Count, right?
That's a metal group, but not hip hop. But no, the song Colors, which was
the rapper. 30,
I see the rapper had a song called Colors from the movie Colors. It was about gang colors.
I remember how much of a big deal this podcast is going to go such on a tangent. Remember how big of a deal when Ice-T and Ice Cube were in the same movie on Trespass?
Trespass, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, remember how? Keep going.
I think it was like Bill Paxton and William Sadler as well.
Yes.
And then it was another big deal. Remember Judgment Day? When it was like, oh, the soundtrack is like
Judgment Night. Thank you.
Oh, Judgment Night. Yeah, Judgment Night. When it was rap and rock on the soundtrack, and it was like Onyx, and it was Onyx.
Yes. Search on YouTube. Jeff Gerstmann and I, who do the Game Boys to Men podcast together, we have we did a breakdown of the Judgment Night soundtrack in honor of its 30th anniversary. You can.
That was a big deal. That was a huge deal. I remember that.
One might say, you know, the Limp Bizkit wouldn't exist without the Judgment Night soundtrack. Here, just because we're talking about this, and I happen to have it on here. There we go. Look at those two OGs just hanging out.
Oh, wow. Where's Coco?
This was before Coco. Wow. This was the first Body Count tour, where it was Body Count headlining, Ice-T playing support. It was awesome. Good time. Interviewed the man.
Looks like a young little wrestling fan.
Yes.
Looks like DJ Yella in the back.
It's not. It's not DJ Yella, but that's a good pull. It looks like DJ Yella. Like that looks like the Arabian Prince hanging out with him. let's just talk about all the obscure members of NWA. Okay, so let's talk about the movie Judgment Night. No, let's talk about NXT. And not Everlast's performance in Judgment Night.
From House of Pain?
Yes, he was one of the henchmen in Judgment Night.
He was also in House of Pain.
Yes, I know. He's on the soundtrack
in Judgment Night. By the way, I like that song. What's that song by House of Pain? Because they played it. They played it in the countdown to the ECW Barely Legal pay-per-view.
I'm assuming it wasn't just Jump Around.
Was it Fed Up?
Was it Fed Up?
Good Lord, I think it was Fed Up.
Not the Butch Vig remix of Shamrocks and Shenanigans?
No.
Which is amazing. That also helped invent.
I think it was Fed Up.
He's fed up with
that. That was a cool song because, you know, like I said, ECW always had good taste in music. I was a big mark whenever they played the November Rain for the November to the Remember pay-per-view. Illegally, might I add, because there's no way they can afford to pay for those rights legally.
Yes. Danny Boy from House of Pain bought the house from the movie The Outsiders in Oklahoma. Danny Boy?
The guy that was on the Tupac song?
No, Danny Boy from House of Pain. He was the send dog of House of Pain.
Then who was the singer on the I Ain't Mad At You song from Tupac?
Different Danny Boy. Kind of like there's how there was Danny Jewel. Boys? There was Jewel, you know, from Alaska, Yodeling Jewel, and then there was Rapper Jewel. From Death Row.
There's a rapper weird. Jewel?
Yes. Huh. It's a whole thing. Jesus. Anyhow.
That's like wow. Butch. Like I was so mad when Pete Dunne got introduced as Butch. Cause I'm like, okay, I don't mind the name change. Right? Cause like I'm not so caught up in like, oh, he's Walter, not Gunther. You know, I don't mind calling him Butch. Just don't name him after a bushwhacker.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Like, did Vince forget that was the name of, like, call him Mitch, call him Lurch, call him any other urch, but just don't call him Butch.
I mean, we had Jordan Grace and Ariana Grace on the same show tonight.
Ooh. That would never happen in the Vince era.
Michael Cole and Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I kind of get where they're coming from. I completely understand, because if anything gets my nerves when I'm watching AEW, when you have Brian Cage and Christian Cage and Adam Page and Ethan Page with running by Diamond Dallas Page, the young kid in me would think that they're all related, just because I used to think that as a kid. So like, give them like a unique name, you know? I don't know. That's just what grinds my gears.
I feel ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So the new belt looks pretty dope, and Sexy Red, this wasn't just a Poppy-like appearance. She was hanging out all night and getting involved with some shenanigans backstage. Tatum Paxley tried to grab that new championship, and then we went into Meechin versus Tatum Paxley to qualify for that championship ladder match. And NXT, God bless him, Meechin gets wins in NXT and is going to that ladder match. America's sweetheart, Tatum Paxley. Out of luck after a pretty good match, and Tatum's super over. I don't understand. Explain this to me, George. Two of the main characters of NXT in recent months are Thea Hale and Tatum Paxley, and neither of them are in this 6-woman ladder match for the NXT North American Championship.
That just goes to show just how, I know it sounds so cliche, but that just goes to show just how stacked this women's division is. I'm with you. I was totally expecting Tatum Paxley to win this match. And we talked about it on the show, just how amazing she looked in that triple threat match a month ago or 2 months ago. And I thought this match was great. I think Meechin, she's definitely been around. So she's got that veteran instinct. Kind of combined with the Tatum Paxley, just how young and how agile she can be and how much she can work. And I think this really worked well. Obviously we haven't seen too much of Mia Yim Meechin in the past, you know, year or two. She's just kind of been in the background. She kind of peeks in here and there, has a match here and there. So
she's,
we haven't really been able to see
competitive losses on SmackDown.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's good to actually see it here. I think with that said, she adds that definite veteran presence that maybe is needed in this ladder match, full of a lot of people that have a handful of wrestling, years of wrestling under their belt. And she adds, I think she had maybe over a decade and a half or so. So I think she's going to be that glue that Natty usually is to kind of hold this match together, which I think is going to be a great match.
Yeah. It was a surprise, but yeah, I think you're right. They definitely need more experienced hand, because a lot of these women are earlier in their career. It is for a mid-card title. I think it's going to be good. Yeah, it's interesting, though. It's interesting that they spent all this time kind of getting us invested in rooting for Thea and Tatum. Yeah. And it's just kind of, you know, and Gigi Dolan, what's up with Gigi? I think Ariana Grace in kayfabe has Gigi trapped in her basement, is making her just do pageant walking and parade waving, 24 hours a day.
I love her. I really do. And Ariana, I love, I love Jada Parker as well. Like, they're, to me, and I've said this before, they're going to be so impactful once they kind of put the rocket ship on either one of them, maybe in 2-3 years, when one of them was on Raw, one of them's on SmackDown, or maybe even two of them on the same brand, man, these two girls, I think sky's the limit for these two girls.
Well, what's crazy is, and this set up a big swerve, because we thought it was going to be Noam Dar versus Trick Williams at Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was assumed that they would think Trick did it, but it would end up being Gallus. But tonight Gallus denied it, so they still think it must be Trick.
I thought it was Gallus, but it's good to kind of, they never really admitted it. They're like, I mean, we did stuff, well, but we didn't do that.
Yeah, no, it was Ethan Page, man. Then we had Riley Osborne with Chase Yu versus Ridge Holland, with Ridge getting the win. Can we just keep Ridge away from Chase Yu? I don't understand the point of this. I don't understand what's going on with Chase Yu. did JC just completely leave behind her abdicate her claim and responsibility and involvement in Chase U and saving them? Is she just out of the picture entirely? Thea, not really having much momentum right now. I know she's got a match next week. But Ridge is the story in Chase U. This would have been like, I don't know. Chase U is the 90210 of NXT. It's been a main story in NXT. I've argued to people it's been 25% of the story in NXT. And now imagine, everybody, Rodney Dangerfield is going back to school and he's going to Chase U. That's Ridge Holland trying to join Chase U, only it's not as fun. He's not going to renovate the dorm room and put a hot tub in there. He's not going to throw a party. He's not going to sing Twist and Shout at a bar. He's just going to be really kind of sad and bring the mood down.
I love Sam Kinison in that movie, by the way.
Oh, that sounds like Chase's entire gimmick. Yeah. Sam Kinison in Back to School.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really too sold on this. I think Ridge Holland's one of those guys that, and I like them as a brawling brew, so I'm kind of curious why they wanted him to push them away from that. I guess maybe they're pushing more for New Cash Republic together, but he needs something. There needs to be something, and I don't know if it's his fault. I don't know if it's the writer's fault, but there needs to be something more than what we're seeing.
Yes, Baby Ice is saying, now we need Ridge singing Twist and Shout. It would be funny if Ridge came in and was like, I'm going back to college. I'm having a do-over. That would actually make this all make sense. If Ridge was like, had some weird mental break and just decided he needed to reboot his life. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'd like to see this Chase U thing expand a little bit. Really maybe push the pedal on this university thing. We need fraternities. We need sororities. We need, you know, sure, clubs. We need maybe a school president. I think there is a lot of legs that this Chase U thing can have. Maybe have Ridge come out and sing Twist and Shout. You know, so
but
maybe
only if Ridge wins matches by doing the triple Indy.
Yeah, that's one way. But yeah, I mean, kind of reminds me of old school a little bit.
Just something. It's just weird, man. It's like, and where are the other students from Chase U? What's going on?
They're in the crowd.
Well, but that's not the ones we would see backstage. I don't know. This is all just,
From what I hear there's a big online presence for Chase U.
A lot of remote learning. There you go. It would be amazing if WWE, remember when they set that website for Luca Crucifino like 3 months ago? It would be amazing if they opened online courses for Chase U. They should do that for bonus content. They should have the Uncle Howdy team do some online Chase U content. You can get a diploma by mail.
That would be like on a whole nother level of just amazingness. Just go online, you register, and really treat it like an actual university. Yeah. Like where you got to register, you got to wait your date to get classes. You take a weekly test and they legit will give you, I mean, it's all AI. Dude, have AI do it. You know, like I'm not a big fan of AI, but you know, let it do something. So yeah, just let AI do it. Come up with a course, come up with the quiz, the test, the exam, and see if you pass. And then,
actually,
you know
what? Have everybody leave Chase U, and that's Andre Chase's breakdown, is that he goes to all remote learning and gets the WWE audience, gets the NXT audience as his remote learning students.
That'd be great. And have tuition as like $20.
Yeah.
And if you complete the course, they'll send you a shirt, but like joke's on you because, you know, they just took your money.
I think there are ideas here. They could do it. They can make it work. But Ridge Holland won this match, which, I mean, great. This is wonderful. Let's talk about the OC challenging Fraxium for that NXT tag team match, which then led to the OC going against Nofe and Blade and defeating them, and then Fraxium them giving them the match at Battleground. I think this is going to be a really, really good match.
It is. I want to talk about the match for a second.
Sure.
I sound like a broken record, because I'm going to go on and on, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, on just like that team needs something. when you have the NXT faithful crowd, that is, I mean, that those guys are raucous. They'll like, for goodness sakes, I saw them give a cheer, get, you know, tear the house up for like Dante Chen, who to me is a relative nobody because I don't watch Level Up, but obviously they're there. And you know, they pop for him first for them to not have any kind of reaction for that Edris Nofe comeback spot. I'm like, man, like you gotta be doing something wrong. Like, give me something. And it's the little things like have like, what's the best thing about that team? And then again, I'm not talking about their in-ring ability. Like, this isn't a knock. Everybody's good, right? Like, nobody sucks in there. That's what I'm trying to say. But you can't just have a roster full of, hey, he's a good wrestler. Oh, these guys are good. No, like, give me something. Like, what's the best thing about them? They don't have a good theme music. They don't have a cool team name. They don't need, I mean, they finally were at least the same colors. At least that's something. But, you know, like, what is it about them that maybe sticks out in any single way? Are they just there to be bodies, or are they there because people actually legit see them as two future guys that can maybe help lead the next generation of WWE superstars?
Yeah, I don't know.
Am I wrong? Like, if somebody says, like, if somebody disagrees with me, I'm all, by all means, I just please somebody tell me, like, what's the best thing about what these guys have to offer?
The tag division right now in NXT is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It's at a time where I think we don't have enough character. We don't have enough, like, big characters. And I don't mean big in terms of size. I mean that we've got some larger than life characters, but then it there's a disconnect. The larger than life characters aren't as experienced in the ring, and those more experienced in the ring aren't that interesting. Like, I think Gallus is dull. You know?
Yeah.
Like OTM, I think, is really interesting, but they're not super experienced yet. So I think that with Fraxium versus the OC at Battleground, one, I think that match could go either way, but it also buys a little time for them to reboot the division a little bit. I was going to say, do we only have the Dusty Tournament coming up? I feel like we just finished the Dusty Tournament with Braun and Baron, but that was a stand and deliver, I guess, in that finish, because it was later last year. But I feel like we need a good reboot of the NXT tag division.
It's crazy to say, because people think it's like, because they're not even doing much on SmackDown, but the NXT tag division, they really lost, like, when Pretty Deadly left, that was a huge part of that division. Like, they offered so much for that NXT tag division that people don't even realize, oh, great, they're getting called up, but there was really no, like, succession plan for that tag division. And like,
And Tony and Stax as tag champs brought a lot more to it than I think Stax and Crucifino aren't quite at that level yet, you know? So we'll see. But it is funny. I actually miss the women's tag team division because they have so much female talent right now that they could easily round that out with 8 solid female tag teams, you know, and have a lot going on TV. Cause they got talent, man. They just need more opportunities.
They need to sprinkle in Bianca and Jade a lot more. If they're not going to have a women's tag division in NXT, they need to have Bianca and Jade or whoever the tag team champions end up being in the future, you know, maybe a little bit more featured on NXT as well, especially when they go to the CW.
But that's the problem with Bianca and Jade, is like, we know Bianca and Jade are winning. There's zero suspense there.
Yeah.
Like, less than zero suspense there. Like, that's more of a guaranteed win than Cody at this point in my mind. Well, you know? But let's talk about Roxanne Perez found out who's challenging her at Battleground. And I thought it was going to be Tegan Nox based on the report. In fact, I think somebody backstage purposefully leaked those details about Tegan Nox is coming to NXT soon, because when Jordynne Grace, when that popped on screen, like, I did the what? I was just very excited, very surprised. Jordynne was awesome at the Women's Rumble this year. She's a powerhouse. She's so good on the mic. She's so, like, just built. Such a great look. Can wrestle all day. And her versus Roxanne, like, that's going to be a tough, hard-hitting match. This is the competition Roxanne needs a win like this.
Going back to what I said earlier, like Jordynne Grace just looks like a star. She's got a great looking championship. She just, I just really hope this maybe leads to maybe more interest into TNA.
Obviously, like to see it lead to her signing with WWE.
To be honest. That too, or even at some point, what I thought I was going to see, and maybe the fact that TNA doesn't do live shows in any way, was I thought they were leading to Stevie Turner going to TNA Impact to wrestle Jordynne Grace with, and that would have been fantastic, just because it's something different and something new. But obviously, we're going to see Jordynne Grace wrestle next week. I do want to know what you think about that. Like, should they have waited for her in-ring WWE debut for the pay-per-view or PLE, or is it good to have it on the TV show?
Okay, so I have to separate two things from this. We'll talk about Stevie Turner in a second. But having Jordynne just murder somebody on TV next week is going to build a lot of interest in Roxanne's gauntlet she's going to have to go through in wrestling Jordynne at Battleground. Mm-hmm. Like, they need to remind the TV audience. I mean, you could tell. I mean, just look at Jordynne versus Roxanne. Nobody thinks, oh, that's gonna be an easy match. But no, they're gonna just demonstrate. I'm like, they might as well just have her come up and like tear a phone book with her bare hands, like the Yellow Pages. That's a dated reference. But no, I think that having her destroy somebody on TV next week is gonna be great. Unfortunately, poor Stevie Turner. We've been saying on this podcast for a year, what is going on? She's been on Level Up. She had the hacker gimmick. Apparently, that's all said and done. She's in Ava's office just begging for a title match. A hacker could put herself on the schedule. And talking about she's been overlooked and nobody cares. And they're like, oh, we'll give you a match. It's against Jordynne Grace. Like, I don't know, man. I'm worried about Stevie Turner. Not about the match. Like, I'm worried how she's going to fare. I mean, we know she's losing, but it's just like, yo, what's up? If you've seen her stuff on the indies, if you've seen her stuff in NXT UK, if you look at just how she moves in the ring and carries herself, like, who did she piss off backstage that this has been her journey? Well, in kayfabe, sure. But I'm just worried this is the sort of thing where it's like you have this match where you get killed and then, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Stevie Turner, I think, has been number one on my list for a good year now of the, oh my God, why aren't they using this talent?
I like that gimmick too. I like that character that she was doing. Yeah, just the hacker / like Twitch streamer, whatever it is, because it's something different. Like, I need something different. Give me something different. I want to see something new. And I'll get into like the Battleground thing in a second. Or the Apex. Give me something new. And I really like that presentation. I get it. I dig the Jordynne Grace wrestling before the PLE. Like I said, it gives people a whole new chance to kind of have something to look forward to. Yeah, she's her champion, but I'm not, and let's say the casual viewer, they're probably thinking like, I just don't want to see somebody coming. Like, who is this girl? Oh, she's TNA. Oh, I got it. You know, I can't even watch them on TV.
That audience sold her tonight.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what was TNA chance. That was well done. And I know the people in the chat are saying, I know Stevie did have, I believe she had a knee injury, but she's been back on Level Up for like 6 months now. Mm-hmm. She's been wrestling house shows. She was actually teaming with Blair Davenport.
Yeah.
For a while.
I will say, man, if Jordynne Grace wins, dude, that's something. Like that's gonna be a really cool moment. That's gonna be one of those moments where like we're gonna look back and we're gonna be like, man, like we were around when that happened, when the TNA champion came in and became NXT women's champion.
I mean, the only way she wins is if she's secretly signed. Yeah. Or there's a long-term deal. There's no way they put a title on somebody who's not under contract.
Do you think we're going to see more, though? Do you think at any point we're going to see like WWE superstars go on to the TNA programming?
It's an interesting question. I think that... But who's it going to be, though? You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be CM Punk. If they're going to let...
Is it fair to compare what we're seeing now to like 97 ECW when you saw them dedicate a show, when you had Sabu jumping off the R, when you had Taz and Dreamer and Dudley's come in? A couple months later, you had like Rob Van Dam come in as Mr. Monday Night. But then my thing is, then you saw Jerry Lawler go into the ECW arena. Then you saw Jim Cornette and Jake Roberts and all those guys. Like, that to me was a big deal. And obviously they're not, this isn't some kind of like WWE versus TNA storyline that it was back then with ECW. So like, yeah, what would make sense? Like, is it strictly NXT talent to go to TNA? Would you get somebody from the main roster to go to the TNA? So it just, it's a weird, like, I want to see it obviously, cause it's something new. Yeah. It's something to look forward to. Obviously anytime we see something that's, I don't want to say never been happening before, but you know, different ways that it happened before, right? This interpromotional thing with WWE isn't new to WWE. This is something that has been done before, but maybe not in 2024. Hmm. So what's old is new again.
Well, I'll tell you, I suspect that when NXT goes to the CW, I think Level Up could become an hour-long program and resemble more a true developmental NXT where there's that in between. And we do mm-hmm. see the senior class, the junior and senior class make it to the CW, but the freshmen and sophomores are on Level Up. Use a college metaphor.
You know who I'd like to see in NXT at some point? I believe in Joe Hendry. Mm. I love Joe Hendry.
There's a couple talents that I could think of, but yeah, we'll see what happens this tonight. Hey man, they win for unpredictability. I think interesting. Every like MJF coming back Sunday was funny. AEW went to such long, great lengths. Like, oh, he flew into Arizona and then we drove him there. But it's like, yeah, it's not a surprise. MJF comes back. Mm-hmm. But this tonight, these were two really solid. Like, these were surprises on NXT. Yeah. Lola Vice versus Ariana Grace. You know, I was watching some of Lola as Valerie Lareda in Bellator. I didn't know she was still doing the dance moves, mm-hmm. even in MMA fighting, which is mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah.
She's a star, man.
Yeah, she's definitely something. A lot of twerking today on today's episode of NXT.
Yes, she beat Ariana Grace easily. Where's Gigi Dolan? Where's Georgina?
It's crazy. Yeah, there's no reference of her. She was on TV, what, 2-3 weeks ago? Without really like a total makeover that she was that they promised to give her. I don't know. That's weird.
I hope she's okay. Yeah. I don't know. Hope she's okay. Maybe we'll get closure on that. It's one of those storylines NXT just sort of dropped. Shayna Baszler came out and ran out in the ring followed by security guards, facing off with Lola ahead of their NXT Underground match at Battleground. And we had Dante Chen versus Lexus King. Dante getting the win.
Dante's good. You know, he's obviously that slow burn. He's been around for a very long time, and not very long time, but longer in terms of how they're kind of circling through stars and through wrestlers is NXT, but finally I get to see Dante Chen. You know, hopefully we see more. I like what we've seen so far. The crowd seems to be really behind him.
Yeah, he was good. What about, well, Kalani beating Ren Sinclair was not a surprise tonight. That was predictable. Kalani is wonderful.
Yeah, I think she's going to be the shining star coming out of the ladder match at a Battleground.
So Ruka's winning this thing, right?
I hope it's Jada Parker.
Okay.
I think they're gonna go with the heel. I honestly would not be surprised if I were to bet money on this. And we'll have predictions next week, since, you know, closer to the event. I'm gonna go with oh my god, what's her name? The one that was with Briggs and Jensen.
Fallon Henley.
I'm gonna go Fallon Henley.
Okay.
My money's on Fallon Henley.
What's up with Jensen, man?
They're probably saving up to get the rights to Separate Ways by Journey.
Briggs is on TV. Fallon's on TV. Jensen's just.
I know this is reach, but like, I remember, I want to say like the last time that he was on TV, he had that Ole Anderson shirt, and a couple people on Twitter kind of ragged on him for like, oh, you have a shirt of a racist. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, it's like, he just passed away. You know, let him pay tribute. Like, you know, Jensen's a second generation guy, but I mean, I don't think that nothing to do with his absence on TV, but I don't know, like, you know, I really like that storyline with him and Kiana James. That really, really added a lot of layers to everybody in that storyline involved. And now we just have nowhere to, you know, Jensen's nowhere to be found.
Yeah. Maybe he's tracking down Sebastian. Let's talk about this main event. Trick Williams and Javon Evans with Sexy Red versus Gallus.
Like, is this what it was like when Salt and Pepa came out with Lawrence Taylor at WrestleMania 11?
Similar but different?
A lot of people don't remember that because it's not on the network anymore. Like, there's a lot of musical things that don't exist ever anymore because they can't have it on Peacock for rights. I think the biggest thing is when James Brown came out with Ernest Miller and WCW. That's, like, nowhere to be found on the internet, and it's probably one of the greatest moments of WCW history. But is this what it's going to be like, you know?
Oh.
Remember when Sexy Red came out with Trick Williams?
I mean, does Peacock have Limp Bizkit playing Crack Addict on
I don't think so.
WrestleMania? Because, you know, he was addicted to crack and skulls.
I haven't watched Mania 19 in a while, but I want to say they might have dubbed over that one. Obviously, they couldn't dub over Undertaker's entrance because that was Limp Bizkit literally singing Roland. But yeah, like even like the Kid Rock performance at WrestleMania 25, it literally cuts to all the women just in the ring. And it completely cut out all the whole entrances. And same thing, like I said, like Baby I Say, like, yeah, For Whom the Bell Tolls at WrestleMania 27. That was phenomenal. But it's nowhere to be found anymore unless you find it on some YouTube channel that is going to be very soon be taken down because, you know.
That's why you got to keep your DVDs and VHS tapes.
Yes. That's why I can't get rid of any of my VHS tapes because I one day want to put it all on DVD. And until then, they're still out there collecting dust.
I hear you. Well, you know, VHS tape degrades, George. You got to get a good VCR with a built-in TBC time-based corrector.
Where are they? Because I can't find them anywhere.
Yeah, if you get an SVHS, Super VHS VCR, it'll cost you a little bit more, but you can find them on eBay now and again. But SVHS VCRs, even for standard VHS tapes, will digitize the best. If you can find one that's got, I have one somewhere that's SVHS and a mini DV deck combined, but it's got FireWire output, so I can get digital output from the VCR, which does a nice, crisper, higher quality digitization of the.
Or VHS how do I? Deck. Do they have a machinery where I can connect my VCR to my Apple, and they can just create this big MP4 file?
Yeah, that's not hard to do. There's lots of interfaces that do that. Yeah, it's a thing, but yeah, VHS it holds up reasonably well. I watch a lot of old digitized VHS on YouTube. Shout out to 80s Commercial Vault. Let's see. So Javon and Trick are a lot of fun, but this, this was set in fact, I'll say this. I was like, well, that was kind of a nothing match that was just sort of feel good and killing time till we're going to get Noam Dar versus Trick Williams at Battleground. And aha. They tricked us. Get it? That's what I did there. Because after this match, where Gallus lost, Trick and Javon won, Metaphors music hit, Lash Legend came out to the ring, and it looked like something was going to go on for them. Legend was asking if Williams attacked Noam Dar and Oro Mensah, and the lights went out, and then I was like, oh, is Aleister Black showing up? Who's Tony Khan debuting now? In fact, maybe that's what it was, that this was an homage to AEW because the lights came on and someone was attacking Trick Williams. And if you're like me and 70% of NXT watchers, you're like, who is that? Is that Big Body Javi? Who is that attacking him? And then they say, oh my God, it can't be. And then I was like, okay, guys, you got to fill me in here because I'm not recognizing this dude in a shirt. And they said, oh my God, it's Ethan Page. Isn't he in A?
Yeah.
And then
I love that. I love that so much. It's something so small, but it adds so much for the shock value.
It does.
I was not expecting this at all. And again, I love this kind of mentality of let's try to just keep everything as a secret. Like, it doesn't have to be. And obviously, Ethan Page, he was never a world champion. I don't even think he was an X, not X Division. I don't think he was either a TNT champion either in AEW. But this just a fun way. It kind of brings me back to a kid when I would watch guys go from WWF to WCW and vice versa. Yeah. It didn't matter who it was. You know, I remember I'm such a nerd. April 10th, 2000 of WCW Nitro. You had like Mike Awesome show up. You had Sean Stasiak show up. Like, I didn't care who it was. If they were coming from WWF or WCW or ECW, like, I'm all in. This is so cool. And I can imagine how cool it must be for maybe some of the younger wrestling fans that really don't care about the politics and the tribalism. They just want to see wrestling. So for somebody to go from AEW, and he was just in AEW, what, 2-3 weeks ago? And now he's showing up in WWE NXT, and he's already there. And I'm like, dude, this is really, really cool. This, to me, is one of the favorite aspects of what pro wrestling is.
And it's kind of nice to see after AEW, I'm not going to say built, I'm going to say AEW supplemented so much of their roster with former WWE talents. It's exciting to see former AEW talents go to NXT, which I think is the right place for them, because NXT versus AEW did have a fierce rivalry for a long time. And I want to speak to that two things. One, Roxanne Perez during her promo tonight said, "I won this title originally during 2.0. To the best of my knowledge, we have not heard a talent refer to the 2.0 era in the past.
Yeah. Was it so? It was still considered a 2.0 around that time. When do you think 2.0?
Mandy.
When do you think 2.0 officially ended?
That's a good question. Good question. Don't know. Some maybe point like after.
A year. Yeah, apparently like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, because remember there was this little vignette they did one time at the end of one of their shows that kind of implied they were gonna kind of go back to the not the complete yellow and black NXT, but the white and gold. Yeah, like more of the yellow and black principles that they're going to start applying to.
Which, you know, I mean, tonight, this felt like NXT from 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think James Storm and Rhino might actually be available if NXT wants to book both of them again.
Yeah, do you remember when James Storm first showed up?
It was huge.
That to me was a big deal. But yeah, this can be that. Like, they are kind of going back to getting some of these. It's, to me, you know, WWE gets crapped on a lot, and, you know, wrongfully so, by the way, that, oh, they're just going with the recruitments. They're targeting collegiate athletes and the NILs and all
well,
that
Carly
stuff.
Bright, cheerleader, former collegiate cheerleader, Carly Bright getting a promo tonight.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, you have a lot of the people that grow up wanting to be wrestlers, right? You know, but you look at who rises to the top. It's really a combination of the best of the best of each one. On one hand, you have a Roman Reigns who literally, you know, no pun intended, just got the bloodline of practically, you know, the greatest family in wrestling. But then you have somebody like a Bianca Belair that literally did not grow up wanting to be a pro wrestler and is, you know, the top of WWE. So there's really both ways can be really successful. And I feel like we're going back a little more to the, hey, let's go back to what we know. Because remember, like, around when 2.0 started, it was, you know what, we're not going to sign any more indie people. We're not going to, you know, we don't care about Ring of Honor, all that stuff. We're just going to go with, you know, the newbies, the 21-year-olds, the 22-year-olds that really don't want to be wrestlers, so we can train them in our way. And then that lasted, you know. And again, they just keep going in cycles. So right now, it feels like now it's going back to the, let's just get a combination of everyone.
Yeah,
you know, they have the room, they have the budget, I'm sure. And now we're kind of seeing, you know, guys that are leaving AEW now have WWE or NXT as an option. I think NXT is the right fit. He was never, I don't want to use the word over, but he was never as big of a star in AEW, whether he was, whether it was his own doing, whether it was the booking, whatever it is. The bottom line is he was never at that one of the top guys enough where it would make sense for him to be on the main roster. So I feel like NXT, it really is the perfect fit for an Ethan Page.
Oh yeah, I think it'll be good. I think and he's still all ego, which is cool that they're keeping everything about him. I mean, I'm assuming they're hot-shotting him to versus Trick for
I think so. It's not because they haven't really announced an opponent anytime soon. I mean, or they haven't. Yeah, you would think so, but
this is good. I'm good with this. I mean, he's not winning.
No, or maybe he is.
I
don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
But you're gonna give him a loss like literally what 10 days into your NXT run?
I mean, you can't have him versus Noam Dar and then he just attacks and causes a DQ and is like, ah, I'm crazy. You and me at Heatwave. I don't know. I mean, he could, but I don't know.
Do you think maybe they're not going to have Trick on the pay-per-view?
No, you got to. He's on the poster.
You think so?
Not that that means anything.
I mean, I figure you have the women's championship and this is a really big deal. NXT women's champion versus TNA women's champion. In my opinion, that's a main event in its own right. Yeah. Have the show start with the women's ladder match, and then you have a lot of filler in the beginning. You have the tag team championships, you know, Fraxium against the Good Brothers. So now that's three high profile matches. You got the NXT Women's Underground. So that's four.
What do you think about the Charlie Dempsey wants to be Italian now?
I wonder what his dad thinks about that.
Yeah, that was funny. Sean Spears wants to work with young people. Maybe he's going to start Sean Spears State College. They're going to have a rivalry with Chase U.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I'm with you. I'm with you. The women should main event at Battleground. Actually, that ladder match, I don't know. I'm torn. That ladder match could be really dope.
Be surprised if they have some form of Trick. I wouldn't be surprised if Trick is not in a match. But he has some kind of like in-ring appearance of some sort, or maybe a contract signing that sets up the match between Trick and Paige for Heatwave.
Yeah,
because Heatwave's in Toronto, right?
Yeah, but they got a lot to prove with Battleground. Like, I bought tickets the day they went on sale, and they weren't. Now they're expensive. I mean, the venue only holds like 500 people, but let's see what's still available on this. Yeah.
Well, but I think real quick, with Heatwave being in Toronto, Ethan Page is from Ontario, I believe, like Hamilton, Ontario. So I think that might line up with maybe having that match at Heatwave as opposed to Battleground. I do want to say this about Battleground. I just hope that they don't try to make it look like a wrestling arena, if that makes sense. I want it to look different, right? Some of my favorite shows are the WCW World Wild. The WCW Bash at the Beach 95, where they were literally on a beach. The Shotgun Saturday Nights from, you know, the early Shotgun Saturday Nights when they were literally in the middle of a bar or in the middle of some like kind of club, that dingy feel. I want this to have that kind of unique feeling that we don't really see with the normal wrestling show or normal NXT show. I really think there's something here. And if it looks great, who knows? We can see an Apex show every 3, 4, 5 months.
I think they could end up moving a portion of developmental to Vegas.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, at some point, it's just going to be called the TKO Apex.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, depending on the presentation, what they do with the junior developmental versus the more advanced developmental. But I'm looking right now. There's 40 tickets left through AXS. So there you go. And the $150 tickets all sold out. So it's all $250 and above that I'm seeing. I'm hyped for it. I'm more hyped for it after a night. I was looking forward to the women's ladder match. But see, I think if Julia was going to show up and do that stare down, yes, the women's title match would be last.
But just this whole interpromotional thing, like that to me is such a big deal. That you put that in the main event and it's going to make it even a bigger deal. And it puts over the TNA champion. It puts over your NXT champion. I don't think we've really seen women. I take that back. I think the last time we saw, was it Becky and Tiffany? Yeah. The last time the women main evented at NXT PLE?
Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah, and so why not put, you know, two ladies that never really touched the main roster on a full-time basis and really give them a chance to really shine and give them that spotlight. Like main events, I'm not saying they're overrated, but I'm saying the tickets are already sold. The subscriptions already bought. Like just put them in the main event. It's not gonna hurt anyone else on the card by putting, you know, people that should be in the main event, or at least deserve a main event, to be in that spot.
Yeah, we'll see. It's cool, though. Carly Bright. Now, if she was doing the cheerleader thing as her gimmick, I just want to put out there that Bring It On is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Bring It On? I love Bring It On.
Yeah, I know. It's a good gimmick.
Dude, that is such a great movie. That's one of those movies where going into it, see, now we're talking about movies. Going into it, I'm like, it's just going to be another cheerleader movie. But people don't realize just how great that movie is.
Yeah. Oh, no, when it opened, from the opening scene, I was like, this, I know I'm going to love this movie. Good.
That's like Pitch Perfect. I'm a big Pitch Perfect fan, although that third one was trash.
They really ran that series into the ground.
Well, the first two was great. The third one was just,
I feel you. I saw somewhere online the other day, someone refer to NXT as if Nickelodeon produced Lucha Underground. And that is now, in my head, the description of NXT.
I've always said Lucha Underground. I always called it, and if anybody else calls it this, just know where they got it from. They are the freaks and geeks of professional wrestling. Because you look at Lucha Underground, that first season, you look at where 90% of that roster is, and they are all who's who of professional wrestling. You look at the first season, the first and only season of Freaks and Geeks, and like 99, you had like Seth Rogen, Jason Segel, Linda Carlini, mm-hmm. James Franco. Like, you look at that cast, you're like, oh my God, like this cast, like this was like years before they even kind of started doing movies. Like, I always like have those two comparisons, and I anybody else takes that, just know that they got it for me.
There you go. Well, folks, there you have it. George is at G Hermosa. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Tomorrow night, AEW, the fallout from Double or Nothing. And I'll be back Friday with Flobo to talk SmackDown. Have a great week, everyone, and catch you back here next time on Wrestling Inc.